You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Get low studio.
Everybody, Matt Time Radio is on the air. I'm Rich.
I'm Graham.
Coming at you from Skid Row Studios in downtown LA.
Beautiful downtown LA.
So we're going to be here talking about all things MMA jiu-jitsu related. You can call the show at 800-893-9562. We want to hear from you.
And hit us on the Twitter as well and Facebook.
At Matt Time Radio on Twitter and, yeah, on our Facebook page. So, what do we got going on today? Fights this weekend, tournaments, a whole lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Let's do a real recap real quick on the itinerary for today. So,
yeah.
We'll go over the fights for the first half hour of the show, and then maybe second half hour we can play our recorded interview with the legendary master.
Oh, yeah. Rodrigo Medeiros, the man.
Yes, sir. So... He'll come up around, you know, just a little bit after 6:30. We'll get into that. But some good fights this weekend for sure.
Oh, yeah. The main event, John Jones and Rampage. Wow.
Rampage just got, he just got outworked.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that he couldn't neutralize. He couldn't get inside. He couldn't really connect and...
Well, the guy had, I think Jones had like an 11-inch reach advantage. That's great. That's crazy.
Well, and Rampage has a head like a brick. I mean, I'm sure he took a lot of shots too.
Yeah, I mean, he actually did pretty good. He even got taken down and full mounted and got out. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty good fight. I mean, they had some other good fights on that card too. I mean, obviously that was the main draw for that card, but.
Wow.
I mean, one of the rounds, Jones went for that spinning back elbow and hit Rampage on the top of the head. And then after the fight, you see him. He had his elbow all wrapped in ice.
All right.
So I know that hurt.
He should have known better to try to go upside Rampage's head that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was the card was okay, I thought. Yeah. I thought the best fight, obviously, for me was my boy Koscheck.
I know a lot of people were thinking he was going to have some ring rust coming off of that, you know, that last loss with his cracked orbital and everything and all the surgery he had to go through and the rehab and everything. So, yeah, I heard it looks like he's back.
Yeah, you know what? For a minute, it looked really scary because Hughes was doing the exact same thing GSP did to him, which is just jabbing him with that left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his eye, same eye started getting all red. And I was like, oh, man, it's going to start, you know, playing on his head a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, and then he tried to go for a takedown, but I mean, he finished that guy like literally like 4:59 of the first round. Some wicked hammer hits, man.
the Brock Lesnar hammer fist.
They were bad though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hughes was out.
Nice.
So, what, you think he's going to retire?
I think he should retire.
I think that was his last contractual fight, right? So.
Yeah, I think he said he was going to put himself on the shelf for a while, but he didn't really say that he was going to retire.
Yeah, I think the problem is when you're a competitor, it's hard to retire. I think you always think you have it in you, you know?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think he's actually just a real hardworking guy. That's his work ethic, you know, just with his background. And he's always been, you know, the type of guy that says, you know, I don't really need to fight. I can come back and be happy working on the farm anytime I want. And, you know, he's not going to miss it, but.
Well, you know he's cutting weight for that fight because you see his twin brother is like twice his size.
Yeah.
He's a big dude, you know?
Yeah, them corn-fed boys and working that.
Working on a farm is not easy work, man.
Yeah, that's true. Looks like we got a caller on the line, too. Hey, caller.
Rich, Crail, what's up, man? It's Hector.
Hey, Hector.
What up, Hector?
How are you doing, buddy?
Dude, man. Good. Great, guys. Dude, couldn't help but chime in, dude, talking about last night's UFC 135 from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
My personal favorite performance of the night came in from Nate Diaz against Takanori Gomi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that with a submission victory.
Yes, submission victory, but the way he set it up, dude, just out-jabbing this guy, counter-punching him beautifully.
I mean,
Gomi was...
He put a clinic
Romy
on.
Romy was out. I mean, his performance.
Seeing the fights, actually, you know, live, tell me this, since you saw these fights and everything, what do you think in seeing all these guys that were fighting, you know, they were fighting in elevation, and you hear like, you know, Rampage was there for a while talking about prepping for, you know, the elevation. Did you see really anyone that looked pretty gassed out because he hadn't adjusted, you think?
Yeah, that was fight.
Here's the thing. I was going to get into my favorite fight of the night was the Mark Hunt-Ben Rothwell fight. Because you get two heavyweights at elevation at that altitude. One, you got the makings for an interesting fight. But I mean, you had these two heavyweights they gassed out. But dude, for three rounds, dude, they made that fight fun.
Yeah, well, I heard someone posted on there too. They go, you know, it's bad when Mark Hunt tries to armbar you.
Oh, that was you know what though? It was there though. I mean,
it was there.
He had it set up. Man. He had it set up. If he had a little more experience, he would have got it.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, those guys are two bangers. And I knew, like, Mark Hunt, man, the guy's going to come out swinging or get taken out. And, I mean, he came out swinging, and he just had better cardio.
Yeah.
Samoan lungs.
I'll say this about Mark Hunt. You know what? I mean, you can see here's a guy who's making a transition, you know, from his K-1 days to the Octagon.
Mm-hmm.
But I was impressed. By how he did stuff Rothwell a few times. And, you know, Rothwell did get a full mount, Mark Hunt matched his gait.
Yeah,
I thought he was, I mean, just a hair's breadth away from knocking out Rothwell in the last round.
Wow.
Well, that's when he had that armbar, right?
Yeah, that was in round two, I believe, right? The armbar?
That was one of them. I thought it was the first round because he almost finished him, and then they came back. He was gassed. Rothwell, he was gassed, but... the interesting story that came out of that Hunt deal is that when the UFC acquired Pride, Dana White just told Hunt, hey, listen, I'm just going to pay you out your contract because I think he was sick of all the Pride guys not showing up. And he told Hunt, hey, listen, I'm just going to pay you out, you know, the five fights that you have on your Pride contract. And Hunt was all like, no, I want to earn my money. I want to fight.
Yeah, and Dana White actually, he invited him to the press conference after, and he said, you know, I'm really glad that you came and you decided to fight. And, you know, he really earned Dana White's respect, you know, by showing up and bringing it.
Yeah. It was a good fight big guys.
Any guy who could hit like Mark Hunt, he's going to make for some fun fights, even if it's on his feet.
Yeah, and that's what makes the sport so exciting, and just you never know, especially, you know, like I always say, with those tiny gloves. You know, the game changer right there, you know, they always say a puncher's chance, you know, to finish a fight.
Yeah. Hunt also looked like Hunt added
new elements to his game, too, in this fight.
Who's that? Hunt?
Mark Hunt, yes.
Well, that's good.
Really, I was expecting Rothwell to handle him.
Right.
Okay, if they're not on their feet, it'll be Rothwell's fight. But, I mean, second and third round, Mark just took over.
Yeah, the only thing a lot of those guys that were big K-1 fighters don't kick a lot, you know? I mean, Hunt kicked a few times, and you know they hurt, man, because his hips are going through the kick. But a lot of those K-1 guys got to change their game a bit. But if they had some kicks in there with some combinations, I think it can be really devastating for the other guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think he even went for a takedown, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Well, these guys, they have to round their skills out and everything. I mean, because they're going to go the way of you know, like Tank Abbott and stuff. You know, guys that just wanted to do things their way and didn't evolve with the sport. And now these guys, you know, they're dinosaurs and, you know, they're gone.
Yeah. It was, some good fights, I thought. I mean, me personally, like I said, I like the Koscheck fight. I guess if you're a Hughes fan, you probably didn't like it much.
I'll tell you this. My biggest disappointment was watching Travis Brown in there. You know, here's a guy who knocked out Stephen Struve, did okay against Chuck Congo. I was expecting a little more from against Rob Brofton.
Well, from what I've seen, I think the most impressive thing I saw actually was Tim Bosch executing the perfect Uchimata throw in his fight.
On the undercard.
Yeah, on the undercard. Just textbook
on
throw.
On the undercard, I did see that.
And that was just beautiful slow motion. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I did catch that.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I mean, judo is a great thing to watch too. It's a you know, a nice thing to see and everything. I don't want to train judo though. I tried it for a bit, and yeah, getting thrown isn't fun.
No, and then you get if you get thrown wrong, it's worse, you know.
Yeah, the biggest part is you know better learn how to land, but it is you know even on mats and stuff. Like it's fun to watch though. We even saw a few throws at the tournament yesterday too.
Yeah, tournament was good too. Yeah, we'll talk about that later too.
Yeah, but judo throws are no joke, man. Definitely.
Well, that's about it, guys. Hopefully, I'll see you guys back in studio soon.
Great, yeah, Hector, and I like that post actually with the 48 hours about Gotti.
Yeah, that was good.
That was on last night.
Yeah, it was actually really good. It was really good. I was watching it last night. It was really good.
That was really good. We watched it earlier today. We saw your post, man.
Right on.
Cool. Hey, well, thanks, Hector. And hey, next time, let me know when you go hit up those tacos. I saw your post too. Shrimp tacos, man.
Yeah, Mariscos Cuatro Vientos getting a shout out.
Oh, man. There you go. Shameless plug. Hey, but do good talk.
Hey, drink some milk. Take that chili taste out of your mouth.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Hector.
All right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up this talk about UFC and all this other good stuff.
Right. We'll be back with some more Mat Time Radio.
Call us at 800-893-9562.
We're back. Madtime Radio.
Skidrow.la.
You can call us in at 1-800-893-9562. We were just talking about last night's UFC and things that went on. And now we're going to kind of switch over to, now that it's over, what would we like to see happen?
Hey, shout out to Bill Cooper, by the way.
Bill the Grill.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and, yeah.
I mean, we've seen the fight. Well, we've seen the fight, and obviously, you know, Jones just beat Rampage up.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think is next for each of those guys? What do you think is next for Jones?
Well, from a few different places I've seen, and I totally agree with this too, I think the next logical one would be John Jones versus Rashad Evans. I mean, those guys, it's been, you know, long overdue. They were training out of the same gym at Jackson's, and it looks like, you know, there was too many roosters in the hen house, and, you know, Rashad had to leave, and now I think, you know, it's time for them to get it on.
I mean, they seem to have some bona fide bad blood. I mean, you seen them in that ring.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they were training partners together and stuff. And, you know, I guess, you know, everyone, you know, eventually they're close to being on top. And, you know.
It just seemed like I thought that Jones avoided Rampage the first time, where he said he was going to get some type of surgery. And then.
Yeah, actually, he's recovering from, I think he had like foot surgery or something.
I thought he didn't have it after all. That's why he took this fight with Rampage.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody will tell us we're a bunch of crazy guys who don't do our research, but.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think, I don't know, the way I look at it, I think, you know, if they were training partners, I think Rampage has got something. I mean, Rashad's got something on Jones, you know?
You know, I think, you know, Rashad is, I mean, he's a great fighter and everything, and, you know, his, you know, like they say, speed kills, and Rashad is fast. Rashad is very, very fast, but Jones is, you know, he's just his unorthodox style. I think he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. He's kind of in that way. I guess he kind of has that mystique about him, just like they did with, you know, with Machida back in the day. But, you know, eventually someone will find a way to, you know.
Well, yeah, I was going to compare it more to like Anderson Silva because of the length, right?
Right. Well,
and then you get a guy like Chael, who just takes it right to him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what it takes, but you got to make sure you get in there before you get hit by those arms and legs.
Well, all the greats, they seem to have that one little that key and everything, and just like, I mean, you know, even to go further back, look at Chuck. You know, Chuck's fighting style, he always told everybody, I'm going to do the same thing to you that I do to everybody else. And just the way he fought, a lot of people couldn't figure it out. They just couldn't figure out, you know, everyone thought he's throwing all these wild punches, but he knew exactly, those punches were very pinpoint.
Yeah, I mean, that's just his style. I think as the sport evolves, so does people's styles. And if you don't evolve with the sport, then you just end up becoming
right,
just old news, kind of.
Yeah, and I think, you know, nobody's put together the winning game plan yet, just, you know, against Anderson Silva, and, you know, someone figured out with Machida. I think if anyone is able to, you know, see, normally, since Jones is actually training with Greg Jackson, you know, he's the mad scientist. If he was, you know, if he was actually going to be figuring out somebody, I would say Greg Jackson is going to be the guy to figure out the game plan. But he's on Jones' side, so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, and then you seen after Jackson lost, he said he wanted to meet a rematch with Shogun.
Yeah.
From the Pride days, so we'll see how that goes.
But, oh, yeah.
Anyway, well, Shogun's got to fight Henderson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a pretty good fight.
Yeah, and then for Rampage, I think probably next, yeah, it's going to be Rampage and Shogun. That's going to be the one really, yeah, to watch. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Shogun just, back in Pride, he just let him have it with those knees.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what Shogun does with Henderson, though, right? I think Henderson's gonna beat Shogun.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Dan Henderson, too. I mean, yeah, you can never count that guy out.
And you know, he's probably kind of like what he did to Bisping. He's going to come out and prove something because... he did knock him out and then hit him with that flying forearm. That was wicked.
That was the most... One of the most wicked knockouts I've ever seen.
But, you know, he shut Bisping up. Bisping never says anything about Henderson now, right?
Yeah, I thought he killed him, man.
Yeah, and so I think because Henderson was on that Strikeforce card, and he's coming back to the UFC because they had, I guess they had issues with money. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to come out and prove something, be like, all right, we'll see, you know, and I think he's going to take it to Shogun.
Yeah. I think he's definitely going to come out blazing, but, yeah, we'll see. And then what else actually?
The other one was obviously just Koscheck beating up Hughes. So what do you think is in store for those two guys?
Koscheck, and well, like we were saying, I think that Matt Hughes should retire already. At least should go back to his farm and you know, do his thing. And I think, you know, Koscheck should be considered again, you know, to go back up against, you know, GSP and see if he can get that title.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's definitely one of these guys that really, really evolved. I mean, he was just a typical wrestler when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, and this guy really put his game together.
Yeah, I think Koscheck needs probably another fight.
Yeah, probably Jake Shields.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight with a dominating performance.
Yeah, if right. He can beat Jake Shields, and Jake Shields is, you know.
If he can beat him anywhere like he beat Matt Hughes, and he's, you know. He just needs to work on his boxing, I think. He needs to cover up his face because he was getting hit with that jab a couple times and his face was already swelling. Koscheck was.
Yeah, maybe I think on the boxing end, he needs to work on his defense more. I mean, his offense is pretty, you know, it's pretty exceptional.
And you got Jake Ellenberg too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That guy's looking pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then what do you think about Nate Diaz? What do you think he should have next in store for him?
Well, he's probably going to have I would say the winner from the Stevens or Anthony Pettis fight.
Uh-huh.
But, Nate Diaz looked good, man. But I got a gripe with all the guys that come over from Pride, man, because like Gomi, like all the Asian guys like Gomi and all those other guys never seem to do well in the UFC for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people have said, you know, this transitioning from fighting in a ring to fighting in a cage, you know. I don't know.
Or maybe it's because the refs don't have a camera and an earpiece.
Yeah, or maybe they can't stomp people in the head.
Yeah, they had those amazing soccer kicks, right?
Yeah, you can't soccer kick a down opponent. Maybe that's like, you know, getting to them. They're like, oh, damn, I have to fight.
I mean,
because
they all, like, look, I mean, we go, obviously, Gomi came from there. Hunt came from there, but that's different. You also had Vanderlei.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all these guys were just.
It seems like the first one, when they get there, they, you know, they don't do very well. And then they, you know, they get over the shock of, you know, fighting in the UFC, and then they come back and they, you know, they do better.
Yeah, because Gomi got beat up, man. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, well, even, I've seen Gomi, like, you know, even actually, off, you know, in on the mat with Grappler's Quest, too.
Yeah, but grappling's different. You know, at Grappler's Quest, you're not getting punched in the face.
But tell you the truth, he didn't look very good there neither. Yeah, I was never really impressed with Gomi.
And Nate looked in good shape. I mean, for a tall, skinny guy, looking in good shape.
Yeah.
So he wasn't drawn out or anything.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, when you got a big brother like Nick to, you know, to punk you around and stuff.
They're just crazy, though. I don't know. Yeah. I feel bad for Nick. I was really hoping he was going to fight GSP, but.
Yeah, I know.
He just shot himself in the foot.
Yeah, he did. You know, and he's one of those guys that, you know, I don't know if he really understands how bad he was sabotaging himself and stuff, but even, you know, for his coach to come up and start, you know, stepping up and saying like, hey, you know, he's apologizing for his fighter and everything. I thought that was like, you know.
Yeah. His brother doesn't seem to draw as much attention as he does.
No, his brother's smarter.
Yeah. Well, but they both train the same place. They got great jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
Awkward. I mean, great striking. It's a little awkward looking because they're so thin and long, but they must have some power behind it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. And another one I think I personally would like to see is Tony Ferguson there versus Thiago Tavares.
Yeah. Thiago's doing good. I mean, he's on that Dolce diet, right?
You know? Yeah, the Puro Bomba, man.
No. Dude, have you seen him last weigh-in? He was drawn down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got on that Dolce diet to cut weight. You know,
Dolce diet? What's that?
Dolce, like the Dolce diet, dude. That's like the dude that helps everyone lose weight in the UFC.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, where was he the last time I was cutting weight?
Dude, he's all, like, you can get him on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think his name is Mike.
Mike Dolce?
Yeah, serious.
Oh, wow.
And he's got this whole, he has a book out there.
Uh-huh.
That dude better send me a shirt for the free plug, but.
Is that like the new South Beach thing or something?
You know what? It's like any diet, man. You just got to watch what you eat.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all calories, right? You got to take in less calories than you use.
That's what I tell people. You know, everyone goes like, you know, what's the secret? What's, you know, the big secret that nobody knows? I go, I'll tell you what. And I go, come here, and I go, eat less, exercise more. Yeah.
I'm just going to start telling people, dude, you got to eat like here's what I do every night. I eat chocolate cake.
Yeah. But that's it for the entire day.
Just chocolate cake and milk because I need my calcium, right?
Yeah, I don't exactly always do it myself the right way, you know.
Yeah.
Like 500 calories a day is not good when you're, you know.
I usually eat like 500 calorie meals. I know we're getting off target, but it's,
yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a good thing though, but that, I mean, that's how I lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah, well, like this, I know this last week, I had five, you know, I tell people, oh, yeah, 500 calories a day. And they're like, what?
That's not a lot.
And they're like, well, was it hard? And I was like, yeah, it was absolutely miserable. I'm not going to tell you it was fun.
Yeah.
You know?
You usually just lie to people. Oh, yeah. Dude, it was so much fun. Everything smells so good.
Yeah. I just actually look at pictures of food all day.
Yeah. Well, and everything smells good. Like somebody has a bag of Doritos and you're like, man. So good.
No, I just get on the Yelp reviews and I just scroll through all the pictures and I'm like, yeah, yeah. Talk about metal masturbation.
You're sitting there like, I'm going to have 8 tacos, a hamburger.
Oh, yeah, totally. I was like, yeah, I'm going to this and that. And then it's like, you know, oh, wait, nah, I'm not hungry.
Yeah, Dolce Diet, dude. Look up.
I got to check.
Yeah, yeah, he's got some good stuff.
Right on.
Hey, listen, well, it's almost time for a break real quick, but when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to be back and hopefully we can get you people to call in, call the show. We want to hear from you. And we'll be back in a minute with some more Matt Time Radio.
Yeah.
Right on, we're back.
A little DMX.
And real quick, I just want to say hi to one of our listeners out there, Ryan. He's actually listening in Australia.
Good day, mate. That's the best Australian accent I got.
Good enough. But we're really excited, actually. What we have taped for you is an interview with legendary Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, Rodrigo Medeiros. And
black belt under the legendary Carlson Gracie.
Sr. Yeah. Yes, sir. And we've been fortunate enough to train with him. And we've trained at his gym. He gave my instructor his black belt. And we're very, very excited for this interview. And I want you guys to take a listen. All right, everybody. This is our first interview for Mat Time Radio. And this is one of many we're going to be bringing to you here. And actually, I have the honor of sitting down with black belt world champion and living legend, Rodrigo Medeiros. How you doing today, Rodrigo?
Doing very good. It's an honor to be here.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this interview. And I just wanted to start off on a little insight. When did you start training?
Man, jiu-jitsu, I started training when I was very young. I was like 10 years old, 10 to 11 years old. I started training judo. When I was like 5 years old, my father put me in judo. And I found love the sport. Then in Brazil, in Rio, jiu-jitsu was not too popular back at that time. Judo was more popular. Then one day, you know, one of my friends, you know, he was a student of Carson. He invited me to check his class, you know, and I was pretty young. I was like 11 years old. He was like a little older, maybe like probably 17 or 18. And I fell in love, man, you know, the sport. And I started training buff. And about 15, 16, I started competing a lot in jiu-jitsu. So I kind of put the judo on part, you know, and be more focused in the jiu-jitsu game.
And who was your first Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor?
My first Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor was, and his name is Maneco. He was a student of Carson Gracie, and he was teaching right in the corner of my house in Leblon Beach in Rio. And I trained for him for about 4 years. And when he stopped teaching, he brought me, myself, and all the other students to train at Carson Gracie Academy in Copacabana.
Wow, amazing. And I know there's a lot of different stories on the differences and styles of jiu-jitsu. In your opinion, what was the differences in Carson Gracie style compared to the rest of the family?
Carson, he was very basic. Jiu-jitsu was very basic and efficient. And the way he taught us was always think about competition. But jiu-jitsu, they work for any situation. You know, the jiu-jitsu Carson was taught us working for any situation, not just the gi part, the competing part, but also self-defense, for like a street fight, for MMA events, you know. So all the positions that he really liked to show, to teach, was the kind of position was practical for you in any other circumstance.
Right, and now that the sport's evolving and growing, how do you feel about jiu-jitsu possibly making its way to the Olympics in 2016?
Now, I think it'll be a dream coming true, you know, for all the jiu-jitsu fans and athletes and, you know, people live from the sports. You know, I wrote an article in a Grace magazine last year. It was a very good return for the article. A lot of people came talk to me about this, you know. But it's still difficult, you know, because there's a lot of politics involved, you know, for sure, you know, to be in an Olympic sport. And I think in Rio, you know, the 2016 Olympic Games, you know, we have like a gift, you know, to have jiu-jitsu there, because, you know, that's the birth of the sport, you know, as when everything starts. So it's, you know, it's the most of top instructors and fighters come from there, you know. For years was the, you know, the main place in the world to have the academies, instructors, you know, like a state term in Rio back in the 80s, beginning of 90s. Was like a world championship today. So I think it's going to be a big gift for everybody, you know, but I'm still doubting they're going to happen, unfortunately.
Right, and even too with the evolution of the sport and the tournaments that are growing, what is your view on you know, rumors of alleged steroid use in BJJ tournaments?
I think you're cheating yourself, man. You know, if you... I don't agree with use of steroids or even other illegal substance, you know. I think you cheat yourself, you know. I think like you know, if you have a use of any substance that's not legal to win any sport event, man, you're just cheating, you know. The only way I support, like, you have like a use of steroids, if you need that as a doctor, as a, you know, as for in a serious injury, then you need to take the steroid for recover yourself, you know, by, you know, direct by a doctor, you know, and then I can understand that. Another way, I think you're like, you just see yourself, and man, today I'm 40 years old, I still train, I still surfing, you know, I still doing the same things I do when I was 20. I never use nothing like that, and, you know, I just all I do is take like vitamins, you know, and that's it, man, you know, you don't need it. That's the truth, you don't need it, you know. For sure, a guy that takes steroids, you know, for a long period, he's going to pay the price when he gets older.
Right, and what is your advice, or how do you handle people that they come through your academy that only see jiu-jitsu as just something you have to do really quickly just to get an MMA fight, and they're not really take it too seriously?
Most of these guys, they change their mind after they do a couple classes, you know, after they're there for a while, you know, because they know there's a long process, you know, it's a long term commitment, you know, if you want to be good, you know. It's always an evolution, you know, like even if a black belt, he train, if he stop, you know, he get back a couple years later, he's not going to be the same, because the sport is always evolving. I think the sport will have more evolution on the wall, you know. I don't see any other sport have so many evolution. Like jiu-jitsu, always new moves, new tricks, new techniques coming, you know, new ways to do the positions, you know, new adaptations. So, you know, most of the guys, MMA guys, they come and they think about, oh, I learned jiu-jitsu just for know how to defend myself in MMA. That's very useful for sure, but it's a part of jiu-jitsu, the same way as the stand-up parts like, you know, judo, you know, the same way like the self-defense part for women, for kids, or even for adults, you know, like for a street problem. But they all end in the same pocket, you know. The jiu-jitsu had to learn it the traditional way with a gi. A gi is a tool that give you a lot of options of attacks, defenses, and of course a lot of new moves coming from there, you know. All the other parts are very limited compared to the part of the gi, you know. So they all end like a, you know, if you really want to be good, you know, they have to end like a training with a gi. You see a big example there, like when the biggest MMA champion, Rodrigo and Rogério Minotauro, they both train at my academy in San Diego, you know, with a gi. Junior Dos Santos has been coming there too, you know, to roll with the gi, you know, and be very humble, learning, winning, losing, tapping, getting tapping, you know, like, and just to make the technique more sharp, you know, to get the technique more efficient, you know, and that's the one way, you know. You have to train with a gi. Again, gi is a tool. They give you all the options, you know, and, you know, it's infinite.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, just in my own short amount of time in jiu-jitsu. And now, since you were around and fighting with the Carlson Gracie team for so long, what was your relationship with Waleed as well?
Waleed? Oh, Waleed's a big friend of mine. Still a big friend. I just met him in Brazil like last month. The guy's a legend, bro. The guy's like one of the guys that I saw that training more in the sport. You know, he was like one, like a fanatic for jiu-jitsu. He was training every day, man. You know, he pushed the team, the Carlson Gracie team, a lot, you know, because it made people train, made people never give up, you know. He was like he's a big friend of mine, a legend, man. A guy I have a lot of respect. You know, a guy that won everything in jiu-jitsu possible. I really sold it for Carlson, you know. He never turned his back for Carlson. And big friend of mine, you know. Big friend of mine, you know. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for that guy, you know.
Right on. And now, what advice could you give someone that's been in the sport in a while and is kind of in transition and feels they're kind of stuck in a rut and they're, you know, they're just trying to advance, but they have a little trouble getting better?
That's normal, you know. That's normal, man. You know, your evolution in any sport you do, you know, it's not like the whole time, you know. You have evolution, then you get stuck a little bit, you know, like for a couple of months, maybe a couple of years, you know, and then you get another evolution. You know, it's like this, man. It's normal, you know. My advice, you know, like, just keep training, you know, and keep your mind open to learn new things. You know, if you're a top guy, you know, and if you're stuck right there, start playing the bottom, you know, start put yourself in a situation that you just don't like, you know, to be there. That's the only way to learn, you know. I cannot learn how I defend a side control if I never in a side control. If I never, you know, it's nobody's passing my guard. You know what I mean? I saw in the world champ like 2 years ago, won a black belt. The guy have amazing guard, like, it was almost unpassable. And I don't have to say his name, but this guy had his guard passed and got submitted like last next minute. No, the guy, when a guy passes his guard, submit him the next minute. Why? People's like, no, what happened? He probably like never found himself in that situation. His guard, he was so confident in his guard that you know, he don't probably, when he training, he don't put himself too much in that situation. Like, you know, some good black belts that control him. So you always have to be open, man, to train, you know, and you know, put yourself in a position that you don't like. But most important, you know, is like, just have fun, man. Go and train, have fun, you know. Don't think too much about winning or losing. You know. Just have, play and have fun, you know. Don't think about too much about results, you know. Think about more like improvement, you know, like, you know, and satisfaction. That's more important than anything, you know. On the end, you know, that's still gonna count, you know what I mean? It's more important than the techniques. It's like the fun you had with your friends or in the academy. And everything's involved to be a good athlete, you know. Is you know, eat good, you know, have a health lifestyle, you know, like, and that's the bigger scene of the game, you know. That's a bigger, the most important thing, you know, when you're training for a sport, you know.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about BJJ Revolution team and any future plans you have coming for the team?
Yes, Revolution team is a team that I put together in 2000 with Julio Fernandez and John Wano. And after, you know, I took more control of the team and make the team grow more. Now Julio Fernandez is back, you know, and like put the team together too and try and push the team to the top. And the results are amazing, man. We have like about almost 50 camps all over the world. We are 5 times national champion, Pan American champion this year. As a novice division, so many tires. No, we have gold medals in every belt in the world championship, and the goal is, man, is make the team grow as a family. You know, fight as a team, and that's the you know, the reason we made the team together. You know, like to always follow the Carson Grace lineage of jiu-jitsu. You know, respect the master. And the goal now is grow up in Asia. That's the goal now. My goal now for the next few years is make the team grow in Asia, you know, in countries like Japan, China, Hong Kong, Philippines, you know. We have already a new breed academy in the Philippines, affiliate for Revolution Team. So that's the goal now, like you grow in different parts of the world. You just opened academy in Australia, in Victoria, Australia. And the goal now is Asia area.
That's great. And now, for anyone out there listening that wants to find you or want to stop in and see you, where can they find you?
You guys can find me in the Jiu-Jitsu tournament, but you guys are going to San Diego area, Pacific Beach. I'm right there. My camera is Ryan Kaz Street in Pacific Beach. You know, also can reach me by my website, Rodrigo Medeiros, BJJ.com, RodrigoMedeiros, BJJ.com. And you know, I'm always around. I was like, you know, open to, you know, to share position, share techniques, and share my personal experience in the sports.
Great, wonderful. All right, thank you so much for sitting down, taking this time with us. Always so approachable, always a gentleman. Thank you very much for having this interview with Mat Time Radio.
Thank you, guys, and hope a long life for this radio. Thank you.
Nice.
All right, that was the man.
Dude, that was a good interview.
Yeah, Rodrigo's a man. He's really, you know, he's really easy to interview because he's just so passionate about his sport. And for someone that's been training for so many years, you know, you can tell by sitting down with someone and when they speak to you that, you know, this guy has that, he still has that fire.
Yeah, you know, actually, the good thing I thought about it, this, obviously we did this interview back on August 20th, I want to say, right?
Yeah, that's all right. Our first interview, but
yeah, no, that's fine. But, you know, we just ran into him yesterday at the U.S. Nationals, and he had, mm-hmm. you know, he had that shirt on that says Respect Carlson.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that's exactly what he was talking about during this interview, you know, that respect and honor go a long way.
Yeah, and just, you know, being that type of guy and stuff, exactly, you know, for accomplishing what he's accomplished and everything, and just still a really, really good, you know, really good guy and stuff. We're really happy to be, you know, competing under BJJ Revolution team, you know, for him and for our coaches. And Yeah, we're really lucky.
Yeah, and I like, you know, he gives real good, realistic results. He says, you know, you go through your phases where you get stuck. He says you can get stuck for a month or maybe a year at a certain place, and then you just...
Yeah, that question was kind of a bit, you know, it was pretty close to home on that one. I was really paying attention to the answer he gave on that one.
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, a good answer because I think we've all been there, right?
Some
days you get on the mat and you feel like a beast, and then the next 2 days later you get back on the mat and you're like, man, what happened, you know?
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's my first day all over again, yeah. You know, and yeah, it happens a lot, and, you know, I guess too, no matter what, you know, when it's back to, you know, back to whenever you start your training week or, you know, it's back to business on Monday, as always, you know, no matter what happens. If you're, as long as you're not hurt and you're listening to your body and you're, you know, you're able to continue on, you know, training efficiently, you know, back to business.
Yeah, and he said it too, go train and have fun.
Yeah.
I think if you're training and not having fun, and obviously you need to rework something, I think, but.
Definitely. I think that's why, you know, so many people that do what we do are so passionate about it. It brings so many other things to your life other than the weight loss. And, you know, I think, you know, myself personally, just, you know, my self-confidence and you know, how I see things now and everything. And my only regret is not finding out about it sooner, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a relatively new sport to us. I mean, you look at like a... You know, one of our teachers, John Awano, he's got these old pictures with all these, like, Vito Belfort and Wally and all these guys and Rodrigo and pictures. And you're like, wow, these guys were, like, really the pioneers of what today is, you know, jiu-jitsu at all these academies. But
right. They were the prototype for a real competition team when Master Carlson, you know, put together a team. You know, they were the ones. They were, you know, the mold.
Yeah. So, I'm the same as you. Sometimes I wish I would have known about it earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, you go through your cycles and you take a break here, take a break there, get back into it. And
I'm glad we got it now, though. And just like John says, too, you know, train smart and everything. And so he can keep training.
Yeah.
Or a lot of these people that want to power through and you know, they want to destroy their bodies and everything and go, yeah, well, I'll see you in a couple of years. You know, I'll still be here and I'll still be doing my thing. And I think, you know, that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, just stay in the game. Stay in the game as long as you can and stuff, because it's still, you know, that's what drives a lot of us.
Well, you got to be smart. I mean, if I get injured where I can't compete, I mean, sometimes I like to just show up and maybe do a warm up, but I won't roll heavy. But it's kind of, you know, Rodrigo also says, you know, put yourself in a different situation. I think actually when I got injured, I think it was one of the times that I improved my game a lot, because I had to totally change my approach. You know, I used to just go top game, smash, you know, the Carlson Gracie way, just smash.
Yeah.
And then I had hurt my neck, and so I said, all right, you know, I'll just start working on my guard. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think for me, actually helped my game a lot when that happened. So,
well, yeah, just like Owano said too, you know, same thing. He had an injury in his hip, and, you know, he had to change his game and stuff. And, you know, even doing it for so many years, he even realized himself, you know, and you would think, just because you're at the black belt level, there's nothing else to learn. No, he's like, you know, there is things that I can learn. I do have to change, and you have to make those adjustments too.
Yeah. You know, the good thing, like, you know, you and I sit here, and Dwayne and all these other guys come through, and like, even when we had Bill Cooper in here, he said something that, to me, I still think about this day. He says, you know, when you're a blue, purple, or brown belt, just go out there and learn as much as you can, because when you're a black belt is when it's going to count. You know?
Right. Yeah. Compete as much as you can.
Yeah.
Who cares if you win or lose? It's really going to matter as a black belt, you know?
Well, you know, I think now before you're a black belt, you want to make all the mistakes so you can improve your game so you don't make them, right?
Right. And of course. And yeah, it's true. I mean, it is, you know, for those that, you know, and everyone listening, you know, that compete can agree, you know, it takes a lot to put yourself out there in that position and stuff. Just getting there to the event and all the prep that goes into it is something, you know, it's a feat, you know, in itself, just to get to the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time you're taking away from doing whatever. And if you're going to diet or get yourself ready and cardio and everything else, it's a lot of work. And you know, I sit there and actually talking about tournaments, you know, we were at the U.S. Nationals yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they're going on today, but you sit there and like, sometimes I'm hard on myself at tournaments, and you're probably the same way, but then you sit there and you look at these top-level black belt guys, and there's only two results, either win or lose.
Yeah.
Right? So whether you're a black belt or a white belt, the results are the same.
Right.
But, you know, you see these top-level black belts that lose doesn't mean that, you know, that their game's bad. It's just, you know, you got caught or you slipped or something you got to work on, or
yeah.
I think there's always room for improvement, right?
Absolutely. And for you competitors out there listening, besides the nationals that we were at this weekend, there is a couple of things coming up. You know, if you are out there listening and you are looking to compete, there's got Grappling Next is coming up October 2nd. That's their next event, Gi and No Gi.
You know, that's a good tournament too, because it's like, I don't know how many it is, but it's a guaranteed two matches.
Yeah, so that's really good for someone that is looking to get more competition experience and mat time. And
for the price, right? Like, because if you think about it, let's just say it's $40, right? You get two matches in your division and then two matches in the open. That's four matches.
Yeah.
That's not bad for $40.
That's not bad. And the experience, just, you know.
Two cups of coffee or something. I don't know.
I know, with a cup of coffee a day or whatever. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's actually pretty good. So the Grappling Next, you know, they travel around, so that's good.
Yeah, this one's going to be out, actually, October 6th is going to be in Fresno. October 8th, they're going to be out in Oceanside, and the 22nd of October as well. So they got stuff, they're putting stuff together back to back.
Yeah, and I also seen that, I thought I seen some advertisement at the U.S. Nationals that Jiu Jitsu Pro Gear was having a tournament in San Clemente too at the high school.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one coming up too. The big one, I would say for this year, it's still going to be the World No Gi Championships, but that's still not to November.
Okay.
That's going to be the one, the next IBJJF event, another big big tournament, just like this American National Championship was. And to everyone listening, hope to see you guys out there, and, you know, hope everyone, I know everyone can't win, but I hope everyone, you know, medals and brings it home for their teams.
Yeah, I think everybody likes to win, but I think sometimes it's, you just got to realize if you sign up and you get there, there's a lot of people that don't do that step.
Right.
Right. So it already just takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of courage just to sign up and pay and get on that mat, you know?
Well, I'm really happy to, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, as far as like competition wise, there were a lot of other things that were more fulfilling for me than competing. There was meeting up with people that I've seen before, you know, and just seeing everyone come together and the relationships you make and stuff. And that's a great thing, you know, to get a bunch of like-minded people in the same room together that can understand, you know, the struggle that you go through and in training and your wins and your wins and losses and everything. And everyone understands, you know.
Yeah, and everybody takes it differently. And there's a bunch of different people there. They got different hobbies, but we share one common thing: we all love jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
So we get on that mat for whatever the time limit is, and just try our best.
Yeah, we try our best, and you know, like, you know, some people can look at it where, you know, they have to get in that mindset. Oh, you know, this guy's my enemy, and this and that, and I'm lucky, you know, the people in my division, we're going to see each other again, and we're going to have at it with each other a whole lot more, you know, in the future and stuff. And you know, we're all good with that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I see some guys on there, and like, I don't get the mindset where I want to kill them or anything, like, you know, you move to kill them. I just, you know, it's 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever your match is, and you just got to go out there and work your game, and
yeah,
who's ever better prevails that day, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was actually, I just want to say, that was a really good interview, man. Rodrigo's a great stand-up guy. And he does great seminars, too. If you've never been to one of his seminars, that's one of the things you should go to. And I think he posts those on his website.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking to go to the next one and you know, looking to, you know, do some training. I was fortunate enough to go train down there at his academy. And he's always very welcoming if anyone's ever in the area. And just, even if, you know, you can't stop in and train, stop in and say hi. You know, just talk to the man. You know, he's very open to having people come by his gym. And it's in a wonderful little spot in town right by the beach. You know, so that's a great, great day for the, you know, want to get out for the weekend or something.
Yeah, and they had the, you know, partial results from the U.S. Nationals posted, and they had a BJJ Revolution team on top. So it's, you know, for the total team.
All right, shout out to the team, you know, and all our friends out there competing.
Yeah, I think they got to wait for all the white belts went today.
Yeah.
So I think when those results get posted, then they'll find out.
Yeah, white belts and no-gi. No-gi, too.
Yeah. I would assume they're doing two different teams for gi and no-gi.
But I
don't know. Because it's the first time they've done the gi and no-gi together.
Right. Well, anyone listening, you know, of course, you can always check those results at IBJJF.org. They do post everything there. And, you know, you can look up the stats and see if, you know, people from your school are, you know, how they did in the tournament.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, it looks like we blew through this hour.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you all for stopping in. And we hope you guys like what you heard. And if you did, do us a favor and tell a friend, like us on Facebook, and so we can keep bringing the show to you.
Yeah, don't forget, they can always go to the website, skidrow.la, and, you know, download the podcast or listen to it live when it's there and check out our other shows. We got 4 other shows with a couple of great guests on those, too. So
absolutely, for sure. Right on. All right. Well, thanks for stopping in, and we'll see you next time with more Matt Time Radio.
This is Moya Brown Fighter, Bill the Grill Cooper, and you're listening to Matt Time Radio on skidrow.la.
All of you chumps are going to bow when I'm with him. I love you. I know you got him. I know you got him, Dick, but the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Times I gotta tell y'all I'm second to none. No magazines top 10 cause I'm -1. So I don't pay attention to them dumb folk, cause I'ma always be in first like the clutch broke. I'm from where the cutthroats cut coke, cause school ain't cut it, they cut out the puff smoke. And guess what, that's who I hang with. So when you speak industry, I don't know the language, but play a beat and I'll show you why I'm head honcho. Y'all getting away with murder like the white Bronco. Bunch of trash in between hooks. Bars too cute to be getting all these mean looks. Put the hottest rappers all on one stage together. See who hold their arm up like Che Guevara. I rhyme hotter and I say it better. I'm a winner, Cold War. I'm a product of the Reagan era. They dig into the page inking. My 16's free, all I'm hip-hop's Abe Lincoln. Fam, I don't know what they thinking. These niggas got me fucked up like I spent all day drinking. I'm a boss, not a loss yet. You little lemons in a race with a souped-up Corvette. I'm so hot, I can stand still and pour sweat in the North Pole, fully naked with my balls wet. I'm a monster, these other niggas small pets. Claim they sick, but they get cured by your dog's vet. I'm thorough from my yank to my Gore-Tex. You bluffing, I play poker, I'm calling all bets. Local boy, when's the last time you all left? I don't even know where the fuck I'm going on tour next. Last month, Canada, before that, Europe. I had waffles out in Belgium, you ain't have syrup. Every time I write, it's another flight. Another whore with my kids on an underbite. Another yow, I chant when I touch the mic. Another magazine spread, yeah, you fucking right. I'm on my grind like a pair of inline skates. Get on tracks and go bananas like a primate. Baboon, gorilla, chimpanzee, a wild ape. King Kong when he escaped. I'm about to skyscrape. But the sky ain't the limit. I can teleport through my mind any minute. Take you to a place where the lions go ribbit. All the frogs roar and the fire is frigid. I'm out of this world, don't belong here. What good is airing the throne if I taught you from a small chair? Family, you niggas got it twisted. Flow out of the box, yours chicken and a biscuit. Give me chicken pox when I listen. I be itching to cripple your career like a ligament is missing. Dog, I'm on a mission like an intimate position. When I swing, it's knockouts. I ain't getting a decision. From here on, it's locked. Y'all a prisoner spitting. Can't escape my bars. No visitors permitted. Welcome to hell with Joel holds a pitchfork. And you burn an eternal flame for your bitch talk. Dick in my hand, I'm pissed off. But I ain't buckling. Every day I'm hustling. Rick Ross. One day the whole globe will know I'm Clark Kent. Underneath the shades on a Project Park bench. Superman when I grip the mic. The only way I'm slowing down is if I blow a pound of kryptonite. From now on, I'm a bully. I'ma pick the fight. Let them pick you up off the ground when I chip your bite. You become a little memory. Gigabyte. Me and these beats got married. I'm Mr. Right. Little man, you spit a eye. I'm on fire. You got a little buzz. Miller Light. Man, there's so many words running around my brain. If I don't put them on the track, I would go insane. Maybe that's why everything I say is crazy. And every day I wake up with a naked lady. With a VIP band on my right wrist. Pants on the floor. JD with a slight sip. Left in the bottle. Telly key on the nightstand. I go to the bathroom to pee and then I scram. I live the life of a rock star. They ain't wanna let me through, so I became a cop car. Put the sirens on every time I touch a pin. Everybody moves like dope, that's a fucking 10. My peers know I'm gonna win. This music's like my first crush. For years I wanted in. I'm here, OP
boy, will you taste the wrath? I'ma make it ugly like what's underneath Chase's mask. I listen to a lot of mixtapes and laugh. All you niggas do is whine like Jamaican ass. Every night I celebrate. We take a glass of champagne to the brain. Sometimes we take a bath. Victory feels far better than defeat. You niggas weak, Solar's letter. I'm harder than a Fonz lever. My worst rhyme's 30 times rougher than your hardest boss ever. I can front like a car fender, cause everything I'm on, DJs pull up like the bartenders. New York, I'm the answer to your prayers. Head nod music, lead it dancing over there. Project shit, ain't no mansion over here. Just murder on the strings, Charles Manson on a snare. I'm hungry, the game's like a food court. I just gave y'all a loose honey. Newports. Yeah. Joel Ortiz.